Thank you. What a blessing, Pearsons. Appreciate that. And that was good. And of course, Debbie. Always a Pearson, though, right? Yeah. Yes, always a Pearson. Amen. Well, this morning and tonight, we have part one and part two. And the title is Run Your Race. And I'll have to be honest with you, in doing all the study and everything for this, I got exhausted. I'm not much of a runner, but I do see in Scripture, we'll look at three passages this morning and tonight, talking about running our race. But I want to encourage you to run your race. 2012 is not an accident. It is here because that's God's will for it to be here. And everything that has led up to it is God's will in your life. And, you know, He's let you live to this day and to this year, at least to this point. And He's got some races for you to run, and I want to encourage you to run your race. Father, bless the preaching now and speak to our hearts and give us exactly what we need from Your Word to help us to run our race. And, Lord, I pray nobody will fail this year to finish the race that You want us to run, and really the races. Some will read through their Bibles this year, and it'll be the first time they ever have. For others, it'll be the 20th time they have, and I praise You for that. Help us to finish. Help us, Lord, to run the race of our prayer lives, and the race of having a family altar, and the race of our schoolwork, and race of soul winning, and just whatever it might be, Lord, in our lives. For some, it may be a bad habit that needs to be gotten rid of. It may be some sin, a sinful thing in our lives that, Lord, it's a race that needs to be run so that we can have victory over that. But whatever it is, and however You speak to us, Lord, I pray that we'll answer and we'll do exactly what You want us to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Really, all of us, if we're honest, we're like Paul. We would have to be like Paul back in Philippians 3 and verse 13 when he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." That means I've not apprehend means to grasp. I've not grasped the thing that I'm supposed to have. I've not reached the place that I'm supposed to be. He says, "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those." He said, "I want to reach those goals. I want to reach. I want to grasp everything that God has for me." And so he says, "Reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." It should not be the start of a new year. We all just say, you know, last year I reached all my goals and now I have nothing to shoot for. There should always be races in our lives. There should always be something that we could be honest. And as Paul said, "I've not attained that yet. I've not apprehended. I've not arrived everywhere I'm supposed to be yet. I've got a lot of things I still want to do." I pity the Christian that feels like you've arrived. Again, you're wrong in that, but more than that, where there's no vision, the people perish. You have nothing to shoot for, no goals to go toward, and you will have a very miserable existence. Reality for each of us, we have a lot of races before us in 2012. The reality is, at the end of 2011, we should have taken inventory and maybe looked at the sheet of all the races we could enter. And I hope you did that. If you've not done that, I would encourage you to do that, because 2012 is still very, very new. And you have opportunity after opportunity to win races. I've said for years, we need victory every day. As a Christian, we need to experience, I had that one victory last year. Boy, I'm sure excited about that. You ought to have victory all the time. When we sing victory in Jesus, I often wonder if there are folks out there singing that maybe don't really have victory in their life. And the reason we don't have victory is we're not entering the race to get a victory. In Hebrews 12:1, the Bible says here that it is a race. Notice right at the last here, he says, "the race that is set before us." It's our race. You have races, or you have a race that is set before you. God puts it in front of you. It might be for a young person. It might be a class at school that you know, hey, if I'm going to pass this thing, I'm going to have to run. I'm going to have to work hard. If I'm going to get an A in this class, by the way, you ought to shoot for that every time. But the ultimate goal in any class like that, whether it's English, science, math, history, whatever the goal or whatever the class might be, the ultimate goal is that I do my very best that I can do. That's my goal. I'm shooting at doing my very best. And whatever God is setting before you, and he does that through preaching. He does that through just your life. For some, it could be something at work, a race that you're going to have to run next year. Your boss maybe has given you a goal and said, okay, here's what I want you to have done by the end of next year. I want you to have done by the end of this month, or I want you to have done by the end of this week, or whatever it might be. And there is a race that has been set before you, and I believe that God has set before us, and it's something that we must do. We've got to run our race. It's individual. You can't be looking at everybody else and saying, well, they're running that race. That may not be your race. Well, they're going to do that, and I kind of like that, but that may not be your race. We call them resolutions. I call them races. In 2012, have you decided to run some races? I mean, the one thing that should be at the top of everyone's list is, I'm going to read through my Bible this year. It ought to be at the top of your list. I will read through my Bible. I mean, come on. You read other books. You watch television. You watch programs. You've gone through series after series after series, but never read through the Word of God. And we're Christians, and we say this book is something I'll die for, and we won't even read through it. You say, preacher, I'm trying to say that I believe God is setting before you today, according to Hebrews 12:1. He's setting a race before you that you will read through your Bible this year. Oh, but Leviticus is tough. Yeah, and you know, no race is easy. It's a race. God calls it a race, and I would encourage you to make sure that is one of your races. Prayer every day should be a race. Prayer several times a day should be a race. And that ought to be a goal that you put before you. Devotions ought to be a goal where you take time out and you talk to God and you read your Bible and you talk to God about what's in your Bible and you let God talk to you. Parents, dads, you know, family altar, that ought to be a race that you say, I'm going to win this race. I'm not going to quit on this race. Oh, you say 5 years ago I tried to have a family altar, but, you know, look, set it before you again. I believe God is putting it in front of you again. We need our homes to have the Bible in the center of the home. And if we're not going to do it in our homes, how can we expect our country to have that? It won't. Being faithful to church, it's a race. You ought to decide, I'm not going to miss church this year unless I'm dying. Amen. Soul winning ought to be a race that you said you're going to tell everybody you can about the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to take tracts with you. You're going to take them home with you today. You're going to have them with you, and you're going to pass those tracts out, and you're going to spend some time every week telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are races that we ought to put before. Being on time for things is a race that you ought to put before you. You know, just to be on time, not to procrastinate. Be on time with your homework. Get it in. Be on time to church. Be on time to things that are important. We need to get races before. We need to find things. Not just resolutions. I'm talking about where you say, you know, I believe God, you put this in front of me. I believe you want me to do right here. I believe you have this for me. It could be something in our lives that is sinful. And you say, I'm going to quit doing that thing. A lot of people do that at the beginning of the year. And, you know, a lot of people started January 1, and they've already gone back on it. But, you know, hey, if it was right to start January 1, it's right to pick up and do now. You say, but I failed already. Well, just go ahead and start again. Amen? And get, you know, it's okay. Just finish the race. For some folks, it'll be a class. You know, you didn't do so well last semester, but now you say, you know what, I'm gonna do better in that class. I'm going to do my best in that class. It could be a diet. It could be not being lazy. It could be some bad habit that somebody has. Again, these are called resolutions. I call them races. And God talks about running your race. He talks about running our race in Scripture. And we'll look at several passages this morning and tonight as we run your race. Everybody here, you cannot be a Christian today and say, well, there's just nothing for me to improve on. There's nothing for me that I need to do. I have arrived. If Paul has not attained, if Paul has not apprehended, if Paul hasn't arrived, when God was using him in such a great way, how could we say we have? I don't think there's any one of us that can. There are things in our lives we need to run our race. Number one is a demonstration. A demonstration. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Hebrews 12, 2. Notice what the Bible says about our race. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was, now watch these words, set before him, endured the cross. That's the same terminology that's used in chapter 12 and verse 1 that is set before us. In other words, we have a demonstration of a racer. We have a demonstration of a runner. We have a demonstration of one who had a race set before him. And the Bible says that it was set before him just like the races are set before us. It could be today that God would put in your heart to do something that you've never done before that is right, and you know it's right. It could be God will set before you the race to start tithing today, or the race to start giving to missions today, or the race to read through your Bible today. Or not today, that'd be tough. But to read through your Bible in 2012, it could be that God would set before you a race today, and he'll convict your heart about it. Oh, we're not going to know about it because God's going to do it to your life. But it's just like he did with Jesus. It says, looking unto Jesus, he's giving us a demonstration of what to do. And the Bible says that he's the author and the finisher of our faith. By the way, if you're going to race, you need to be the finisher. Amen. You need to finish that thing. The whole idea is to finish the race that is set before us. Jesus, as he hangs on the cross, I don't think it's an accident. I don't think it's just, this was written down. He says it is finished. He wants us to know that he finished his race. He wants us to know, by the way, that he finished it, and because he finished it, we can be saved. If he doesn't finish, then we're lost. And I wonder if you don't finish, who's going to be lost? I wonder if I don't finish, whose life it's going to affect. I wonder if we don't finish, what it's going to do to our community and all around us. I'm just saying, we know how important it was that Jesus finish. He gives us a demonstration. He gives us a demonstration. You know, before the foundation of the world, the race was set before him. Are you listening? Before this earth ever, the seas ever rolled into the shoreline, and before the mountains ever were there, and before the foundation was ever laid for this world, this race was set before him. He knew that man would be created, and he knew that God would love man, and God would love man with all his heart, but God would love man so much he would give man a choice to love him. Amen. And he knew that man would fail and that man would choose sin over him, and God would have to choose. There was nothing man could do. This race was set before him, before this foundation of the world, because God knew man would sin, and he knew he would have to come and he would have to pay the price because of man's sin. But it's interesting what it says here in verse 2, and I've never really thought about it quite like I have in studying for this. Who for the joy that was set before him. Now, the race is set before him, but there's a joy in it. And I got to thinking, what is the joy of a race? Now, again, you know, I haven't run much in a long, long time. And what is the joy of this race? It's the finish. It's the prize. You know, what is it that, and we talked about this just recently, talking about temperance on Wednesday nights, and what is the prize? It's the victory. It's the winning the race. It's finishing the joy. And God would have to choose, but it was joy that was set before him. And the joy is the finish, the prize, the crown. What is that? Well, as Jesus hangs on the cross, it's man is going to be saved. Salvation. The joy. It brought him joy. Hanging on a cross, knowing that that was the only way man could be saved. There was no other way. The key is the finish. It brings joy. Yes, the Bible says He endured the cross. He would have to endure the cross, but the finish is worth it. Now, folks, understand, you and I, if we're going to run in a race, by the way, if you don't run, you don't win, ever. If you don't enter, you don't win. If you don't participate, you cannot win. You never run, you never finish. And if he doesn't endure the cross, he doesn't finish either. And understand, then there's no joy because man is lost. Now, I'm just telling you, winning your race. You say, okay, so preacher, you're going to give us a little certificate that we read through our Bible. Yeah, and that's all we do. We'd love to give everybody new cars. The budget, it's not in there yet, okay? Prizes for reading through the Bible, that's not one of our budget items this year. And certainly if it was a brand new electric cars, probably wouldn't be in there because we would have people read through their Bible. It'd be amazing. But and that'd be great. You know, great incentive, maybe someday. But understand, the joy is when you stand before him. You know, did you read my word? Lord, every year, every day I read your word. Every year I read through your word. There, I don't know what can take that place, honestly. I mean, I know you wanted Detroit to win. That's fun. Whoopee! But that's not even close, had they, to when you stand before God. And you say, I read your word, God. I read it every day. I read through it every year. And some elderly saint that says, the last 50 years I've read it through. I don't know how many times, Lord, I've read it through. I don't know how many times it's been my meat in the morning and my meat at night. I don't know how many times, God, when I was hurting and I was going through trials, I opened up your word and you gave me something that helped me get through. I'm just saying, the joy that is set before you. Sure, it's a goal. Sure, it's a prize in and of itself. But I don't think you and I understand the wealth in winning races that the Lord puts before us. Being faithful, there's a joy in being faithful and saying, you know what, I did this. There's a joy in making the very best grade you can in school. There's a joy in getting the promotion because you were faithful and you did the work and you did what you were supposed to do. The finish is always worth whatever you have to endure. It's worth it. It's worth it. And as Jesus hangs on the cross in your mind, you've got to understand that there's joy because he's not looking around at everything going on around him. He's not looking down at his body that's ripped to shreds. He's not looking around at those that are scoffing and maybe spitting at him. He's looking ahead to knowing that you are going to be saved. Amen. That you can be saved because he hung on that cross and he finished. What a demonstration we have. You know, as you start out that race today, as you say, you know, Lord, I'm gonna this habit, I'm gonna get away from it. I'm gonna start doing right. I'm gonna quit doing this thing, and I'm gonna start having a family altar, and I'm gonna do it, and I don't care what happens, Lord, I'm gonna have a family altar, and I'm gonna have my devotions, and I'm gonna go on that diet or whatever it might be. I'm gonna do this thing. Understand the joy of finishing. The joy. It look. You got to understand, if you don't endure, you don't finish. You don't even run the race. You say, I don't want to go through all that. A demonstration, Jesus did, and we're so thankful. And we rejoice that he did. I wonder who's going to suffer because you and I don't finish. I wonder who's not going to be able to be what they could be. I know if I don't finish my race, I'm not going to be what I can be. But I wonder who else is going to be affected because of that. And honestly, it's, again, the race that is set before us. What's God put in front of you? What has God said to you? Okay, this year, this is what I want you to do. You know. I don't know, but you know. A demonstration. Number two is a demarcation. It's a great word. It really is because it fits in my outline. Amen. Write it down. Demarcation. I'll tell you. A demarcation is, and this is so good too, it's the goal line, amen, and the boundaries. Jesus had his eyes on the prize, the finish. How can it be joy? It's joy because souls are going to be saved. People he loves are going to be saved. That was the goal from the foundation of the world. Souls to be saved, sins to be forgiven. And that line was set right there. There was nothing else that would do but to finish. There was nothing else. There was nothing else that would work but for him to die on a cross. He had to die on the cross. He had to be buried. He had to rise again. There was nothing else that would do. His blood had to be shed. He could not be strangled to death. He could not have any other kind of death. He had to die on the old rugged cross. And that was the mark. That's what a demarcation is. It's to set the mark. To set the boundary. And by the way, the boundaries were the precious word of God. He could not sin. He could not be just any other guy. He could not be born like any other person. He had to be born of a virgin. He had to live a perfect life. He had to be the spotless Son of God. He had to be. And that was the demarcation. And that was how it had to be. Paul said this. He said, I press toward the what? Mark. What's he saying? He's saying, I've got a mark out there. That's where it is. You know, we've all played football out in the field. You know, most of us, the field didn't have 10-yard markers. Didn't have lines in it. Most of us, we played in a field that had holes in it. Or the neighbor's dogs were out in it. Football in that situation is always exciting. You're dodging a lot of things. Thank you. But what do we always do? We always said, okay, that tree, right? That tree over there and that tree over there. There's a line. That's a touchdown. And that's what you're looking at right there. Now, you know, that's our mark. And that tree over there and this tree back here, or that mailbox right there, that line right there, there is no line. Yeah, that's the boundary. You can't go past that. And that tree over there and the doghouse back here, that's the boundary, okay? And so there's our mark where we have to go, and there's our mark where we can't go, and that's where we play. And that's what you have to do with your race. We have to say, okay, here's my mark, here's my prize, here's what I'm going to, it's good. Okay, I'm pressing toward passing this class. I'm pressing toward doing my best in this class. I'm pressing toward reading through my Bible this year. I'm pressing toward having a family altar. I'm pressing toward getting rid of this sin. I'm pressing toward this. And I'm not gonna go out of bounds. Jesus could not go out of bounds. Jesus had to stay on the track. Here's our problem. Our problem is we don't want to get that mark out there. Because we're so afraid we're going to fail. Where there's no vision, the people perish. If we would just say, you know what, I see myself crossing that line. I see myself achieving that goal. I see myself coming to that mark. In a race, there's a start and a finish. And there's also rules. In an athletic event, the same thing is true. Out of bounds is out of bounds. There's rules. Philippians 3, verse 16. Look at it. Philippians 3, 16. Back to Philippians 3 and verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Okay, whatever you did to already attain, there are some things you have attained. There are some areas you have achieved. There are some races you've won. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Let us obey the same rules. Let us follow the same path. Let us do it. And what is that rule? It's the Word of God. How do you run your race? You run your race using the rule book. That's our boundary. We have our goal, but my boundary is I'm going to do it according to the Word of God. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to try to do it any other way. I'm going to do it the right way. 2 Timothy 2, verse 5. Hope you write these verses down. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 5. Excellent, excellent verse about running our race. 2 Timothy 2, verse 5, "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Yeah, you're not going to win the race. You say, "Well, I finished, I did it." But if you don't do it lawfully, if you don't do it according to the Word of God, if you don't do it the right way, if you don't do it by the boundaries that you are allowed to take, then you're not going to win the prize. You're not going to win the prize. Strive lawfully. Do it. By the way, the law of the Lord is perfect, the Bible says. I'm gonna get rid of this bad habit, but you start another bad habit to get over the other bad habit. You didn't strive lawfully. Well, I'm gonna get rid of this sin, but you substitute this sin for another sin. You're not striving. Look, get your boundaries by the Word of God and press toward the mark. That mark, the way that you have in the past, the way you've won in the past. I go back in my life often, and I think of the races that I've run and the victories that God has given, and the boundaries that had to be laid out by the Word of God, where I had to stick to the boundaries. If Jesus sins one time, he may die on the cross, but it's for nothing. Amen. And so what are you saying, preacher? Well, the demarcation to me, it's a plan. It's the finish. It's the laws that I'm going to follow. It's how I'm going to do it. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to cut corners. I'm going to follow exactly what God says. And the Bible says this in our other passage, 1 Corinthians 9, that deals with racing and running. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 26. And we referred to this when we talk about temperance. "I therefore so run." Notice what he says. "Not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." He says, you know, Paul says, I run with a purpose. I've got my mark set. I've got my boundary set. I've got my starting line, my finish line. My boundaries are all set. I'm not running uncertainly. I've got a goal I'm trying to achieve. I'm going to read through my Bible next year or this year. I'm going to pray faithfully every day. And he said, I've got it all lined out. It's not like I'm out here running around in circles. I've got a straight line I'm running toward. And I've got a plan. Amen. Boy, how important it is that you plan that thing. Okay, so here's the race set before you. I'm tired of this sin in my life. Okay, now decide. Here's what I'm going to do. Okay, let's say you're going to quit drinking liquor, alcohol, and I don't know if somebody has that problem here today, but so over here is going all year long without being drinking liquor, and now what's that mean? Well, I'm going to set my boundaries. I got to stay away from it. I'm not going to go to that person's house because that person's house, they serve it, and they're going to tempt me. I'm not going to go to that party because at that party, they tempt me. I'm not going to go to that restaurant because it'll be right next to me, and I'm going to be tempted. Are you listening? And you say, here's my boundary, and if I stick with this thing, there's my goal right there. By this time next year, I'm going to be shouting because I've got a victory in my life. And praise the Lord for that. But you folks, if you just haphazardly say, well, it'd probably be a good idea if I do, you're probably not going to win. You're probably not going to win. There's got to be a demarcation where you say, here's the goal, and here's the boundaries, and I'm going to follow that. Amen. Amen. Number one, we see a demonstration. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, we see a demarcation. That's our goal and our boundaries. Number three is a declaration. Boy, this is so important. Jeremiah 23, verse 28, "The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream." I love that. I really do. You know, the prophet that, the prophet that, okay, if you have a dream, you have a vision, you see what it's going to be, then tell people about it. You say, I'm just going to keep this to myself. Not a good thing. There needs to be a declaration. There's something about announcing your intent. Amen. You know, a lot of decisions get made, but unless we let somebody know, well, it's nobody else's business. It may not be, but surely there's somebody that you love and somebody that loves you that you'd make it their business so they would cheer you on. We're supposed to exhort one another. What is that? That means to run beside and cheer on. It'd be like if I were to go out here and jog. Now, if I went out here and jogged, and Brother Chase decides to walk beside me. Notice I'm jogging, he's walking. That's how it would be. And so I'm out here. Now, what's he supposed to do? He's supposed to exhort me. Come on, Pastor, you can do it. You can do it. No, Brother Chase, I can't do it. I'm about to die. And I would be about 100 yards, feet. Anyway, but, you know, I'm out, and he's just like, come on, preacher, you can do it. You can do it. Come on now, you can do it. And, but let's just say I decided not to tell Brother Chase, and I decide to jog from here to the buses, and I get halfway in the parking lot, and I'm jogging along, and all of a sudden I say, nobody will know, and I quit. Who does know? I know. I just failed. But if I tell him, he can encourage me. If I tell... let's see, who else? Well, I'm looking around at several men that would be just like me. We would drag each other down. Let's forget this. Let's go eat.
Amen.
Yeah, Larry, I was thinking about you. But and we would go eat, amen. But we'd get, I was going to say, the basketball team, they'd want to go eat too, so that ain't going to work. Boy, we're a mess up here. There's just, we need to have the exercise program. But anyway, tell people, tell your family, we are having family devotions. You say, well, preacher, about time I do that. I know what you're thinking. They're going to hold you to it. That's good. It's your goal. It's your race. It's your finish line. Amen. There's something about announcing. That's why we have an altar call. I'm convinced of that. Honestly, this is carpet up here. It's just carpet, and there's wood under it. That's all. There's nothing, you know, any different about here than there, except for going forward and saying, I'm making a decision. That's all. That's all. I've made a lot of decisions where you are. I've done that. I can do it just right here, too. You know, nobody knows. I've done that. You've done that. But I'm going to tell you something. Kneeling at altar, by far, there's if I had a some kind of program on the computer that Tim could run, not that I could run, but that Tim could run, and I could look at the statistics, I promise you that decisions made at an altar, carried out and went forward and finished, and victory took place more often than any decision made anywhere else. I guarantee that. I'm talking about at an altar or with somebody or counseling with someone and saying, will you pray for me? And I want you to know I'm working on this, and I want you to encourage me and try to help me. And that's what we're supposed to do. There's something about declaration of your intent to win. That's why we do New Year's resolutions. You know, and people say, there's an accountability there. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. But it's your win. You're the one that's going to win. Yeah. My question is, do you really have an intent to win? Because honestly, when I make decisions that are kind of quiet and I just say, well, Lord, you know, I think that's a good idea. And I don't tell anybody, or I don't go forward. I don't make it public or whatever. The truth of the matter is, I feel like I can get out of that somehow. And that's why I do it that way. Because I always leave room to get out of it. You know, you folks, especially a young person, you counsel with an adult. You have somebody that you actually talk to, and you say, here's what I'm doing, and this is what I'm going to do, and God's laid this on my heart. You're going to be a success. Because you've chosen somebody that's going to encourage you, and somebody that's going to help you, and somebody that is going to be on your side cheering you along the way. And it's your goal. It's your race. It's your race to win. Those that are silent are just simply scared of failure or not really excited about really winning the race. You see, declaration is letting God know. The declaration is letting the devil know. The declaration is letting others know. Amen. Amen. You know, it's a husband telling his family, we will have a family altar from now on. It's a Christian saying, I will read through my Bible in 2012. It's someone saying, I will tithe. Yeah, amen. We will be on time for everything. Same thing. Amen. Stick your neck out. I will lose weight. Well, the holidays are over. I will quit smoking. Now, somebody's going to take that out of the message and say, Pastor Roger smokes. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can. We need more Christians to say, I can. I can. I can. I can. We will have the right kind of home. Every dad ought to, you know, it ought to just be automatic. Hey, this is a race. We're going to win, and we're going to do it. Declaration. Why? I don't know of anything any more important. We've seen the demonstration. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen the demarcation. That's our prize, our goal, and our boundaries, how to get there. We've heard the declaration where we get up and we just say, hey, this is what I'm doing. And then number four, the last thing this morning is your dedication. Your dedication. Boy, it's so important. I ask this question, is it worth it? Now, you know, reading through your Bible, again, we're going to give you a little certificate. Well, amen. But someday you face the one who wrote the book. Amen. He is the Word. I do not know how embarrassing, I can't even imagine to say, you know, I never have read through your Word, God. That's hard to imagine. 1 Corinthians 9, again, going back to temperance that we talked about on Wednesday night, self-control. The Bible says in verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. So run that you might be the one to receive the prize for running. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. That means he has self-control. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And he says, I have decided to run the race, and I'm going to have to put my feelings, my flesh, behind. I'm going to die, Paul said, to my flesh, so I can run my race. When I don't feel like it, I'm going to keep running. When there's more fun things to do, I'm going to keep running. When I'm pulled towards sin, I'm going to keep running, is what he's saying. And our dedication is absolutely essential. Philippians 3, verse 3 gives us another clue as far as our dedication is concerned and ties in with this. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. This race we're running, whether it's schoolwork, whether it's getting rid of a bad habit, whether it's reading through our Bibles, understand I'm talking about a spiritual race, not a fleshly. You can have no confidence in the flesh. It's not going to help you in this battle. It's not going to help you in a spiritual race. Dad, if you're going to have a family altar, you can't count on your flesh because your flesh is going to say, watch TV. Your flesh is going to say, go to bed. Your flesh is going to say anything but opening up the Word of God and reading it to your family. You have to understand that. No confidence in the flesh. Romans 7, verse 18. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. And I love Romans 7. Paul says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. In other words, he says, to want to. I want to. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. You know, I want to do it, but how to do it, that's a tough thing. To will, to want to, that's good. But I want to see a performance. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 11. Just about done. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 11. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, amen, amen. And you say today, I want to read through my Bible. Good, that's the best way to start. I want to run this race. I want to have a family altar. I want to quit watching certain things. I want to have some rules in my house. I want to get things right. I want to have a good home. I want to do the praise God. That is wonderful. And now he says, now therefore perform the doing of it. You know, the will is the start of it. I want to run this race. I want to do it. Dedication. I know my flesh isn't going to like it. I know I'm going to read my Bible and want to be asleep. I know I'm going to pray and want to fall asleep. And I know there's going to be a battle. But watch this. Philippians 2, verse 13. We go back to there. Book of Philippians. Philippians 2. I hope you're writing these verses down. These are just good verses. For it is God which worketh in you both to will. What's that mean? That means he speaks to our heart about the race. And to do of his good pleasure. It's God which worketh in you. Understand. You know, the desire to do right. God put that there. And it is God that worked and put it there. And it's God that's going to help you win the race. Amen. Your dedication. He works in you to will and to do. And so like any race, there's got to be exercise. There's got to be training. That's reading our Bible. That's coming to church. That's listening to preaching. That's being faithful to Sunday school. Because the Bible, it's like a mirror. You know, weightlift. We go over to the Y, and sometimes you'll see these people, you know, and they're working out and in front of a mirror. And I asked somebody one time, I said, "What?" And then they put oil on themselves. That's scary. But anyway, and you know, the weightlifters will do that. And they'll lift weights, you know, and they're looking in a mirror while they got mirrors all over the place. And I'm thinking, boy, that's, you know, that's kind of vanity. Of course, at that time, I didn't ever want to look in a mirror. But anyway, so they're lift. And I asked them, I said, "What? Why all the mirrors?" They said, "Well, we're watching the muscle group that is working right now. And we're watching that muscle. And because they're trying to build bigger muscles." And, you know, again, that's their world and that's what they do. But I thought about that and I thought, you know, that's why the Bible's a mirror. That's why God says the Word of God in the book of James, it says it's like a mirror, you know, because we look in the mirror and the more we look in the mirror at the Word of God, the more we see things in our lives that need to be changed and worked on. And if I'm going to win my race, I'm going to have to exercise, and I'm going to have to look in the mirror of the Word of God and find out what needs worked on, because I want to get the prize. Do you want to? Is it worth it? I want to find out what's right. I want to find out what's wrong. I want to find out what I should do. I want to find out what I shouldn't do. I want to run my race. The Bible says in verse 13, back to Philippians, chapter 3, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Look what he says, forgetting those things which are behind. He said, I gotta forget the things. By the way, what's that mean? That means forget past failures and forget past victories, because you're pressing toward a new mark. I'm not going to rest on reading through my Bible in 2011. I'm going to say, you know what? That was a victory then, and I'm not going to just keep grabbing that trophy and polishing it. I want another trophy. Amen. Forget, and certainly, last year I got to Leviticus and I quit. Forget it. This is this year. Amen. Amen. By the way, how sad. How sad that you got to Leviticus and quit. How sad that you didn't just go on and read some, start somewhere else. But the truth of the matter is, quitters quit. That's deep. Forgetting the thing. Why? Because I'm focused on my mark up there. That's why. Amen. Again, I ask you the question, is it worth it? Is it worth it? You say, well, I don't know, you know, that means a whole lot to me. Is it about meaning a lot to you? Or is it mostly about meaning a lot to Him? What do you suppose would please God? Would it please God if you prayed every day? Would it please God if you read your Bible every day? Would it please God if you were faithful to church? Would it please God if you were on time? Would it please God if you did your best in school? Would it please God? You fill in the blank. Would it please God if you quit drinking liquor? Would it please God if you quit smoking? Would it please God if you quit watching wicked things? Would it please, you name it. Fill in the blank there. Would it please God? Let me ask you, is it worth it? Is it worth it to please God? Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him. Someday we will stand before Him. Not for punishment if you're saved. But I'll be honest with you, I want to hear Him say, well done. Do you? Is it worth it to bring glory to Him? Because, you know, the whole time you're running your race, the devil's saying, this guy's worthless. The devil's, you know, look at him stumble and fall. Look at him. He's he can't do. He's failing. And Jesus said, yeah, but he got back up. Well, look at him now. He stopped. Now look at him. He's standing over there gossiping with somebody. And well, yeah, but he broke away from that group and he's running again. I'll be honest with you. I want to please Him. I really do. I really do. The demonstration is the Lord Jesus. The demarcation is your prize and how to get it. The declaration is letting people know, and the dedication. What is it worth it to you? Could you dedicate yourself to win your race? Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Perhaps you're here today without Christ. You've never been saved. If that's so, I'd sure like to pray for you and like to encourage you to get saved today. Is there anyone like that today? You'd say, preacher, I've never been saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. Please pray for me. Anyone? Pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Anyone at all? How many Christians would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart. There is a race. There are races. There's things in my life. I've got some goals, and God's dealing with me about them. I've got some things I need to finish. God's speaking to my heart about it. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand all over? As a Christian, you're already saved. You've trusted Christ. Father, please bless now and give victory to these who've raised their hands. And Lord, I pray You'll give grit to others to declare the race that You've set before them and to declare they're going to get victory. I pray You'll bless now in Jesus' name. Amen.